in your mind two words this morning and focus on those throughout the entire lesson. Those two words are second wind. I'm sure you may have heard those words used. You may have used them yourself. As there was a discussion about a person in a race or a person playing in some sports event, and maybe you've even experienced the situation that's described by those two words of getting your second wind. There seems to be something that happens to a person who is in a race, particularly if it's one of the longer races, somewhere along in that where he tends to get a second wind and is able to reach out and do more than he was doing previously. Getting a second wind. I've experienced that idea sometimes even just going over to the gym to play basketball, especially when I haven't been playing very much, and begin to run and be almost out of breath, and then something happens and you get your second wind and you're able to do more than you were doing previously. Some of the ideas that we present that are comparative ideas and images involved are thought up by us. But this one this morning is really one that is scriptural in and of itself. The Bible talks about the Christian life as being like a race. In 1 Corinthians 9, beginning at verse 24, going through verse 27, Paul talked about those that run in the race and the need of running well and the need of running in order to obtain the prize. He pointed out in verse 27 that there is a need for some buffeting of the body, some being involved in a personal way with one's own body in order to run that race and to obtain that prize. The writer of the Hebrew letter in Hebrews 12:1 said, "Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And so we see very clearly that the Bible points out to us that living the Christian life is not unlike running a race. One of the reasons that I have selected this topic for today is the fact that we are in the process of beginning our third year of work together. It was only 2 years ago, just a few days ago, that we moved here to work with you as a part of this congregation. The 2 years that we have worked together have been two of the most pleasant years that I've ever had in local work. The way in which the elders have worked with me and helped me has been as good or better than any time in my local work. As I look back over the last 2 years, I believe that we have made progress. It's not uncommon to have someone visit in our midst and remark about the enthusiasm and the interest and the energy that is seen in the work here at Henderson. And I appreciate that a great deal. You know, sometimes, just like when we're running in a race, it is easy for us to reach a point that's sort of a plateau and level off in our work. And if we're not careful, when we level off, unless we get our second wind, there is a tendency for us to go backwards. And so because of that and possibly other reasons, I want us to think for a few minutes today about getting our second wind. We have seen growth in our work with the college students. We continue to see growth in our work with our youth group, which is one of the outstanding parts of the work in the local sense here. We have been involved, particularly in the last year, in something that perhaps as much as anything else has spurred us on to do a little more, raising the money to purchase the building in Belo Horizonte, Brazil. But in that particular case, that part of our work is winding down. We do not have the same challenge there that we have had in the past year, and may very well need to look for other works and other areas of work to present those challenges to keep us involved and to cause our enthusiasm and energy to grow and never to diminish. And so in that sense, we need to get our second wind. Two of the songs that we have sung so far today have suggested this idea to us. The idea of pressing on to the goal that is ahead of us. And that concept of revival that was in that last song, revive us again, stir us up again, turn us on again in the Lord's work, is really the concept that we're discussing. The Bible is not silent on this subject. Though it does not use the two words that I ask you to consider as such and talk about the second wind in that sense, it does especially use the word renew and the word revive. And that's exactly what we're talking about. In 1 Samuel 11:14, the statement is made, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. Now, of course, they were talking about physical kingdom. We live in a spiritual kingdom. They were talking about things that were happening in Old Testament times, and we live in New Testament times, but the principle is still the same. And there is that sense in which we need to renew the kingdom of God, not to change its makeup, but to renew our interest in it and our service in it and our dedication to it, to renew the kingdom of God and its work today. God's word also talks about renewing our knowledge in Colossians 3:10. There is such a tendency in the busy times in which you and I live to allow ourselves to go day in and day out without really studying God's word and increasing and renewing our knowledge as we should. It's so easy to just spot read and spot study from God's teaching. So though we do not know his word and are not able to defend it and to stand up for it as we should, we need a renewed interest in knowing the Bible and applying God's word in our lives. There is a passage back in the Old Testament again in Isaiah 40:31 that says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I like the way that verse is said. There is the idea of a renewal of strength. Here's your fellow that's running along in the race, and he's been putting forth so much effort, and he comes to a point that he begins to maybe lose a little bit of it. And then he gets his second wind, and he renews his strength, and he reaches on out there to accomplish what he wants to accomplish and what can be accomplished in that race. Isn't that the same idea that's involved here, that there is that need for a renewal of our strength and our abilities and our efforts in the Lord's kingdom and in his work? In Ephesians 4:23, he says we're to be renewed in the spirit of the mind. That suggests the idea of being renewed in our interest and in our desires to do the Lord's work. We're never going to accomplish very much in any line of endeavor unless we're really interested in that. And our mind is set on that. We think about whatever it is that's before us. The renewal of the mind, renewing the spirit of the mind. 2 Corinthians 4:16 talks about even though the outward man perished, that the inner man is renewed day by day. There is that inner man being renewed. Does that not touch on the attitude and the determination and the desire that is to be present with each one of us? God's word has a lot to say about renewal, a lot to say about revive. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. Wilt thou not revive us? Thou shalt revive me. All of these are listed in passages like Habakkuk 3:2 and in the Psalms. A renewal and a revival. I think that's the attitude that we need toward the Lord's work at this particular time in our work together. So much has been accomplished, so much has been done. We have seen growth in many ways. And now let's look at it from the standpoint of getting our second wind and going on even to higher ground and to greater accomplishments in the Lord's work to be according to his will and in accordance with his blessings on that work. I've heard people discuss why a person may get his second wind in a race. I'm not for sure that I know. I'm not for sure that anybody knows exactly why that takes place. It's a rather unusual experience to be involved in a game or a race and feel almost that the body is about to collapse or to give up. The breathing is not easy, and then all of a sudden something happens, and it just seems that there is that second surge. Again, I'm not for sure what causes that. Some have suggested that it may be that the person looks down at the end of the line and sees that goal and wants to run just a little faster and do just a little more. And that because of that desire to reach the goal, it causes some sensation to happen within the body that brings about that second wind. Others have suggested that it may be looking to the side and seeing that the competition is gaining. There's a fellow in this race, and maybe he's ahead, but he looks, and the one who's running against him is gaining on him. And so because of that, he has a surge, and he's able to go forward at a little faster pace. Others have suggested that it may have something to do with the fans or the home team or the home crowd that's in the stands giving that encouragement and saying, come on, do more, do better, that may be involved. And I'm not for sure, but what's the combination of all of these? But it may very well be that the person reaches out and looks and sees that goal and wants to go just a little bit harder and a little faster. It may be that he looks to the side and sees his competition, or he hears the encouragement in the stands. But I do know this, that whatever it is that causes it, it happens within the person's body. That second wind comes from within. It's something that happens to the athlete's body from within, to where he is now in a condition that he can run a little bit better and breathe a little bit easier and maybe run a little faster than he did before. It's something that happens to that person's body from within. And this is the one thing that I want to really get across today as we apply this in the spiritual sense. When everything else is done that may encourage us to get our second wind in the Lord's work and in the Christian race, that real getting of it and putting it to work is going to have to come from within each one of us in a personal way. We do look at the goal that is ahead of us. And thinking about heaven and singing about heaven ought to cause all of us to want to do just a little bit more to serve God and to bring others to Christ. We are spurred on by considering the enemy, and when you look at all the evil that's in the world today, sometimes you have to admit that it appears that the enemy is gaining on us. And the consideration of that may very well cause us to want to do more and to renew our dedication in the Lord's service. And there is something to be gained by the mutual encouragement. I think all of us would admit that we like to have others encourage us and pat us on the back. And not only that, but stand together working with each other and have that mutual working together and encouragement of one another. All of those things are contributing factors. But it comes right back down to that point that we made, that it has to come from within. This second wind has to be developed from the inside. It has to be developed by each one of us. Being affected by all these other factors, then we, from that inner man, notice again, the inner man is renewed day by day. We in that inner man determine more and more that we're going to do our very best in the Lord's kingdom. And we get that second wind to reach out and to do just a little more than we've ever done before. The word renew that is used in some of these passages to which we've referred today is a word that in and of itself in the original language suggests this idea of a second wind. For example, the word that's translated renewal in 2 Corinthians 4:16 means to invigorate, to fill with energy. That's what it's going to take in the Lord's work. And the word that is used in Ephesians 4:23, just a little bit different connotation, is a word that means an inward reformation. A renovation that takes place within the person by an inward reformation, reforming within. Most of our progress and most of our success, folks, is going to come from the inside out, not from the outside in. We don't force very much upon anybody. But we touch those notes within the inner man about the needs and the desires and the determination and dedication and commitment that ought to be there. And in that sense, the inner man can be renewed. And there is that getting of that second wind. We have seen growth in contribution. We've seen growth in attendance, membership, work in many of our programs that are programs, I hope, not to be ends, but means to an end. And yet there is so much more that can be done, so much more that we need to do, so many more challenges that are ahead of us. And I suggest to you today that the only way that we're ever going to meet those challenges is to get our second wind and to reach out and surge out in our running the Christian race in a way that we never have before. Not resting on our past accomplishments, but reaching out to accomplish even more than we ever have before. What good is it at the end of the race for the fellow to say, I was leading at the halfway mark? I ran the first half of that race faster than anybody else in the field. That doesn't make any difference unless the last half and the rest of the race is run, maybe even better than that. Just to run a part of the way and quit is not enough. Just to be thankful that we've accomplished something part of the way is not enough. We need that second wind to reach on out and do more than we've ever done before. And some may need to get that second wind by really being restored and rededicating themselves to the Christian race. It seems that there are some who've run well for a while, who've sort of stepped over to the sidelines and have sat down, or have begun to slow up and to walk instead of running in the race for the Lord. This may be a time that in that personal inner way, some of us need to determine that we're going to get that second wind and reach out and do more in the Lord's kingdom. And that could involve laying aside some of those weights and the sin which does so easily beset us. And may involve even the need of penitence and confession and prayer one for another. And then the fact also remains that there are some that are not even in the race. They've not even begun to play in the game of Christianity. And who, instead of needing the second wind, need to get in there and start at the first. By being baptized into Christ and becoming a part of his kingdom. For some of us today, if we think about this idea of a second wind, it may mean just a personal determination to do more than we've ever done with the Lord's help. For some, it may mean the need of coming back and being restored and then getting busy. For some, it may mean really starting in that race and reaching out to do one's best in life. Christianity is compared to a race. And there is a true sense in which most of us need to get our second wind and reaching out to do the Lord's service. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation today to help you get that second wind in his service or to begin your race as a Christian, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.
Thank you.